The title of the message this morning is The Blessing of No. The Blessing of No. And as you heard when we were reading our passage this morning, the Apostle Paul was told no. Who told him no? God told him no. And so sometimes God will tell us no, and there is a blessing that comes out of that no. So just because God says no to you doesn't mean that God is opposed to you or trying to hinder you or stop you. God wants us to flourish, and He wants us to do His will. And sometimes the things that we are pursuing with in the mindset that this is for God and God would be happy with this or pleased with this, sometimes God will say no. And so let's today explore this idea of the blessings that come from a no from God. As you mentioned, or as I mentioned before, we are in the midst of our second missionary journey. Paul had been through the region of Galatia. The last time we looked at our story, we saw that Timothy, young Timothy, had joined the missionary team, and they were leaving the territory where Timothy came from, Galatia, and they're heading out. And they're heading out with the idea of, God, where would you have us to go? And they were pursuing that. So let's begin now with verse number 6. Verse number 6 in Acts chapter 16. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept from the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, we mentioned last time that Paul had an aim. He had a goal. He had a drive. In fact, when Pastor Kefunga was sharing with us last Sunday, he referred to the drive of the Apostle Paul. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That was Paul's heart. And we've seen Paul, we've talked a lot about Paul. We've seen that desire he has. The calling on his life was to bring the gospel to new places. And so what is behind Paul's drive forward, his move forward? It is the call upon his life. Now, where exactly is Asia? Now, I know today we often think of Asia very broadly, but in this passage, in this context, we're looking actually at the province of Asia, and this is a smaller place. This map we have above on the screen here is kind of a smaller, narrower map of the whole peninsula there, and in the bottom left-hand corner of this Asia Minor peninsula, we have the province of Asia. And Paul wanted a preacher. Why did Paul want a preacher? Because in Paul's mind and in Paul's goals, this was the next logical place to go. Remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus commanded his disciples to begin in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world? Well, Paul, like many, was thinking in concentric circles. And we've seen the gospel go into Galatia. We've seen it go to the island of Cyprus. In Paul's mind, what's the next logical place that we should take the gospel? And from Paul's perspective, it was certainly Asia, the province of Asia, which is displayed right here. And so Paul decides to head out in that direction. But as we saw in our passage this morning, God would say no to him. Now, later on, during Paul's third missionary journey, he does go to Asia. He goes actually to the city of Ephesus, and he will spend 3 years there. It's not that Ephesus wasn't important. It's not that Asia wasn't important. But God had a different plan for the Apostle Paul at this time. So as Paul is thinking, let's go to Asia, let's possibly go to Ephesus, God says no. God says no. Now in time, Paul does go there. and he will reach all of Asia from the city of Ephesus. He actually does go directly to Ephesus during the third missionary journey and spends a tremendous amount of time there. But Paul's work and influence there in Ephesus spreads out through the whole province. Later on in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, we read about the seven churches of Asia. Churches of Ephesus, Smyrna, Philadelphia, Laodicea, Sardis, Pergamum, and Thyatira. We also talked about the book of Colossians just last year. And remember, when we were looking at the book of Colossians, we noted that this was a church that came from Paul's work in Ephesus. Paul himself stayed in Ephesus, but one of the younger leaders under his tutelage, a man by Epaphras, he took the gospel message from Paul in Ephesus out into the interior and went to the city of Colossae. And then Paul later wrote the letter of Colossians to that city. But the point is, right now, at this moment in time, God tells Paul no. Sometimes God tells us no. How does God speak to Paul? Well, there's a variety of ways. We're not certain at all from the text, but there's a variety of ways that God could talk to Paul and God can talk to us. Sometimes it's just closed doors. Again, the details are not given to us in the text, but it's very possible that some of the doors that Paul was pursuing were closed to him. And he took that as an indication that God was saying, no for now, no for now. Sometimes our reasoning process and our intuitions are ways that God talks to us. And maybe that's how God would say to us, yes, or possibly no. Here's another little interesting detail. If you remember, one of Paul's traveling companions was Silas. And when we first saw Silas here in the book of Acts, he was described as a prophet, a New Testament prophet from the city of Jerusalem. It's possible that maybe the word of where they were to go in their missionary travels was because Silas the prophet was able to speak a word of prophecy into that situation. God does speak to us. How did God speak to the Apostle Paul? Well, we're not certain. How does God speak to us? Well, again, in a variety of ways. It's possible that God would speak to us by open and closed doors. So we need to be mindful of that. You see a door closed, maybe that's God saying, no, not at this time. Or a door open is another way. We can also use our reasoning, our intuitions. We can listen for the voice of God. In fact, here is a way that God often speaks to us. And actually, this is the primary way I believe God speaks to us today is in His Word. In His Word. If we want a message from God, we want information from God, we turn to the Scriptures and God speaks to us through His Word. The Apostle Paul heard God speak to him. Maybe God closed the door. So Paul's going to try another door. Moving on in our story, we see that after he had traveled to, he was traveling toward Asia, and God told him no. Next, Paul thinks to himself, well, maybe God would have me go to Bithynia, Let me read now verse 7. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Where's Bithynia? Well, Bithynia is actually up to the north. And on this map, you see that up on the northern part of the upper part of the map. Bithynia was really an important place, kind of like Asia. It was an important place. And in time, Bithynia would become a stronghold of Christianity. A lot of important cities in the region of Bithynia. Nicolodia, Nicaea, Byzantium. Byzantium was right across the Bosphorus from Bithynia, and that became in time the city of Constantinople, and today it's the city of Istanbul. In the 4th and 5th centuries, many of the most important church councils will take place in churches in this region. Maybe you've heard of the Council of Nicaea or the Nicene Creed. That took place in this area in 325 AD. Maybe you've heard about the Council of Chalcedon, another very important creed came from the Council of Chalcedon in 451. These were churches in this region of Bithynia. So the point is, just like Asia, Bithynia was important. It would become a key area where Christianity thrived and flourished. But right now, God says to Paul, no, I don't want you to go there. So Paul keeps pressing forward. Twice now, God has said no, closing a door. But he keeps moving forward. Notice here, too, as we read those verses, that the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus are equated. In other words, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Jesus are one and the same. They're part of that Trinitarian nature of God. We'll see that again in just a few more minutes. Let's now look at verse number 8. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And again, you followed the trail of Paul and Silas and Timothy as they travel through this region. They come now to Troas. Troas is about 10 miles south of the ancient city of Troy. The ancient city of Troy. Maybe you remember some of the stories of Western Sid, the famous battle that took place there between the Greeks and the people of Troy. The Roman epics of the Iliad and the Odyssey relate to this, and the Trojan War is described here. And if you remember one of the most famous features of that war was the wooden horse, and how the Greeks were able to get into the city by placing men inside the horse and offering it up as a gift, and that was taken inside. That's the origin of that little phrase, beware of Greeks bearing gifts. Because, again, if you remember those stories from Western Sea, this all takes place just a few miles south of Troas in the ancient city of Troy. How far did Paul travel during this time of wandering, this time of redirection from God? He left the Antioch of Pisidia, and he traveled to Troas, and the entire time he was walking, he was seeking God's will and waiting for a message from God, trying different things, having doors closed to him. 350 miles approximately. And let's think about that for a minute. Paul and his companions had to travel 350 miles, not knowing for certain where he was going and what God would have him do. Having certain plans that he had devised, but having God tell him no. How long does it take to travel that far? Well, if they're traveling, let's say, 10 to 15 miles per day, which is probably a reasonable amount to travel, that would have been 20 to 30 days. It's a long time. A long time of traveling, not knowing what God would have him to do. What doubts arose in the mind of of Paul? What frustrations did he have to deal with? And then we want to take that same question and apply it to ourselves. How would you have done if God delayed a clear answer for 20, 30 days? Some of you may be thinking right now, hey, listen, I've had delays of months, maybe even years, where I'm seeking an answer from God, seeking direction from God, and it does come. How long do we sometimes need to wait before God will tell us clearly what his plans are? And the question again is, why didn't God reveal his plans to Paul at the very beginning? Why didn't Paul tell Paul way back in Antioch of Pisidia just where he wanted Paul to go? Why was Paul required to travel for 20 to 30 days? Why do we sometimes have to wait for months or even years before we know what God would have us do? Why does God sometimes have us to wait? Or why does God tell us sometimes no when we really expect the answer of yes? We don't know for certain, but we do know that this is sometimes what happens. And we have to be patient. So often things happen. We have to wait. Or difficulties come, and we don't know for certain what God is doing and why God is doing that. And this is where we have to rest in our faith and rest in our relationship with God. Here's another feature of this same situation. What about the hardships that Paul had to face during this 350-mile journey in which he was moving forward while not knowing exactly what God would have him to do? Later on, in Paul's writings, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul describes many of the hardships and difficulties that he faced in his missionary work. I'm going to read just a small portion of that chapter. I'm going to read just from verse 26 and following. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at 26. It's a smaller portion of a larger description of Paul's hardships. But this is what he says. His eye have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. And I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. How many of those dangers, and I'm going to stop right there, it goes on a little bit more, but how many of those dangers did Paul face during this particular voyage? And by the way, we've mentioned this before, when Paul was moving into Galatia for the first time, this is rugged territory. This is where bandits hang out. This is where there is sickness and hardship and difficulties. How many of the difficulties that we just read did Paul have to endure during this period of time? A period of time in which he did not know for certain what God would have him to do. And God was simply having him wait. Having him wait. Again, let's come bring this back to our own situation. Have we been in times of waiting for years, for months, for days? Have we faced difficulties? And those difficulties, how do those affect our attitudes and our perspective on these things? Do we get frustrated? Do we just don't understand why God would allow us to have these troubles and difficulties? And why God would not communicate clearly what he would have us to do. I am only guessing that Paul, through much of that time period, whether it is just 20 to 30 days, that Paul was frustrated, uncertain, facing hardships. In fact, we don't read about any great missionary work or cities being converted. This was kind of the doldrums of Paul's travels. As he traveled, that's 350 miles, without a whole lot of real missionary work, but instead a lot of waiting, a lot of difficulty, a lot of silence from God about what God would have him to do, only hearing no. Only hearing no. Again, I hope that you're thinking about this in terms of your own life, your own frustrations, and your own need to wait sometimes. Well, Paul does finally arrive in Troas, and he's facing the sea, and the question is, where is he to go now? Have you ever had so many doors closed and you don't know where God would have you go next, and you just have to wait and endure and wait a little more? Well, let's look now at verse number 9, where God finally breaks through the no's and gives the blessing, the blessing. Verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. God ends Paul's wandering and is waiting with a vision. Now, this is not the first time God used a vision to give direction. And here's another thing I want us to all keep in mind. This is not the most common way that God gives direction. In fact, even in the Bible, it's very uncommon for God to use a vision. I say this because I don't want any of us to expect God to give us a vision and wait for that vision before we move forward and act. Even in the Bible, this notion of bringing a vision or giving a vision is something rare and not as common as we may think. But Paul, God has used visions before in the book of Acts. In fact, earlier in our study of the book of Acts, we saw God using a vision with the Apostle Paul and Ananias in the city of Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Now, right before this event, Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. But it's interesting, the Bible does not describe that as a vision. He didn't have a vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus. Instead, he had an encounter with Jesus. He was knocked to the ground, and he heard the voice of Jesus. He encountered Jesus in a very unique way on his route to Damascus. That wasn't a vision, but when he got to the city of Damascus, we read in the latter verses of Acts chapter 9 that Paul was given a vision. Then Ananias would come to him, and Ananias was given a vision that Paul was waiting for him. Again, the road to Damascus experience wasn't a vision, it was a real encounter. God also used a vision in that story of the Apostle Peter. We talked about that a couple of months ago. Peter was on the roof at the house of Simon the Tanner. And while he was there resting, God gave him a vision of that sheet that came down out of heaven full of all those animals. And we again talked about that just a couple of months ago. God is now giving to Paul another vision, a vision of a man from Macedonia. And that vision, that man from Macedonia, says, again, verse 9, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Paul had the gospel. The people of Macedonia needed the gospel. Notice that Paul concludes that God had called him to Macedonia. Also, notice in verse 10 that we have the completion of that Trinitarian connection. Verse 10 he refers to as just simply God, so we'll take God as God the Father. And then we saw God the Son back in verse 7, and we saw God the Holy Spirit in verse 6. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all involved in this passage and of bringing the direction to the Apostle Paul. Well, let's talk a little bit now about Macedonia. What is significant about that? Now, Macedonia on this map is in the upper left-hand corner in kind of the yellowish-orange color. There's Macedonia. What's significant about Macedonia? Well, what's significant is this is now European soil. As Paul moves from Asia, and again, if you're looking at the map there, as Paul moves from Asia to Macedonia, he is moving from one continent to another. He's moving from the east to the west. He's leaving the area of Asia, broadly speaking, to the continent of Europe. The gospel originated in the east, the Middle East specifically. It's now moving to the west. It's moving to Europe. We mentioned before that Paul had a heart of taking the gospel to new places. And Paul's thought was, I need to take the gospel to Asia. God says, let's shoot by Asia and let's head out to the west. Let's head to the soil of Europe. Let's take the gospel even broader right now. God's plans are sometimes better than our plans. God wants the gospel to be accelerated outward. There's going to be time when the gospel will come back and be indeed established in Asia. We see that in Paul's third missionary journey. The gospel will come back and be embedded in Bithynia, and great church councils and church leaders will come from that region. But sometimes God has bigger and better plans for us. God had bigger and better plans for the Apostle Paul. Sometimes God has bigger and better plans for us. So sometimes maybe God's no is a no to our ideas because there's a yes to something else. Every move was being directed by the Lord. Everywhere that Paul looked, he saw the need and desire to serve. But he also needed to follow the will of God, knowing and fulfilling the word of God. Notice what Paul does here too. He's always moving forward, moving ahead as he's seeking out God's word. Yes, a door may close. But rather than stop you, rather than sitting down and pouting, rather than giving up and going home, Paul moves forward. And that same thing is applicable for us as well. You move forward. God closes the door. You don't go home. You move in a new direction. Again, continuing to look for God's plans for you. A delay may come. A change of plans may come. But as long as we stay within God's will, we will do things far greater and far better than we ourselves originally envisioned. Verse 10, I want you to notice one other interesting little fact. We start seeing in verse 10 what is often called the we section. Having received the vision, we set off for Macedonia. The we section begins in the city of Troas and it goes on. Actually, it goes on to Philippi, and then it stops in Philippi, and then it comes back in Paul's third missionary journey. So what's that we session? The we session is the writer of the book of Acts, who is Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke. He is becoming a traveling companion of Paul, beginning in Troas, ending in Philippi, but then returning in the third missionary journey. So as we move through the book of Acts, much of it, as we've seen up until this point, has been reported to Luke, and he's written it down. Now we have the excitement or exciting feature that now some of the details Luke will record for us are things that he himself saw. Luke becomes a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul and one of the dear friends of the Apostle Paul who sticks with him to the very end. We've mentioned before that in the very end of Paul's life, when he's writing the very last letter that he penned, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he refers to Luke, who was with him. Here's one more reason, possibly, that God said no to Asia, no to Bithynia, and wanted to get Paul to Troas right away. It may have been that God wanted Paul and Luke to connect so that Luke could become this traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. Luke was a big benefit to the Apostle Paul. In the book of Colossians chapter 4, we read that Luke himself was a physician. And we know that Paul had many medical concerns and issues, and maybe he needed a good physician to be a traveling companion for him. So maybe God wanted that connection to take place. God also may have brought Paul and Luke together in order to facilitate Luke being one of the most prolific writers of the New Testament. We have the Gospel of Luke, we have the book of Acts. If you just look at the volume of writing, he's one of the most prolific writers in the New Testament. If Paul had had his plans, the way Paul envisioned them, going straight to Asia and spending his time in Asia, maybe he would never have met Luke. He would never have acquired this wonderful traveling companion, had this physician to help him, and someone who could then become a traveling companion and the writer of so much of the New Testament. If Paul had gone to Asia, this may have been a missed opportunity. So sometimes God says no to our plans because God has better plans for us. Plans that will cause us to prosper. Plans that will bring about greater fruit. Plans that will bring about greater opportunities. If you had had your way, you may have missed this. Sometimes God says no because he has something better for you. Sometimes God causes you to wait because he wants to teach you something, wants you to endure and grow in your faith. God has blessings for the Apostle Paul, for the church, and for each one of us. Sometimes those blessings come in the midst of God's no to our plans and our desires. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your hand of guidance in the life of the Apostle Paul. We pray and we thank you for your hand of guidance in our lives as well. Paul didn't know why you told him no, but in the end, he discovered through greater opportunities and greater ministry that your no was actually a yes. And we likewise, if we just yield our lives and our hearts to you, we may see your no as a no, but may in time discover that your no was a yes to something better, a yes to something grander. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.